Hey, this is a great passage this morning, Hebrews 11, and we are going to talk about faith and faithfulness. So you can read along the screen or in your bulletin. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is evidence of things we cannot see, and through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. And it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going.
Thank you, Rick. We're looking at the 9 inner characteristics identified by Paul in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Today we're talking about faithfulness. Now, I think you would agree with me, faithfulness is very much a virtue. It's very much a virtue. Unfortunately, it's not a virtue we see very often in this day and age. People are faithful, but they're only faithful if things seem to be going their way. If that movement, if I identify with it perfectly, then I'm going to be faithful to that. But I think in this day and age, faithfulness is something we need. But it's not something we see demonstrated as often as it could be. Some would say as often as it should be. Our passage this morning is about faith. Our writer defines faith for us. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we can't see. I think that's a great definition of what Paul is talking about in Galatians 5:22. What he is talking about is a faithfulness to something even when things aren't easy, even when things are not necessarily going our own way. I think as human beings, we hope for things. We dream about things. We have thoughts about things in the future. And as those things are the will of God, as those are responses to God's call in our life, then we can have some assurance that what we hope for will really happen. That it can happen even though we can't see exactly how that's going to happen in the future. How many of us have had things happen in a way that, well, we didn't predict? Yeah, every one of us. It isn't as though we don't want to predict what the future is, but, you know, we're not God. We don't always know what is up ahead in our life. And I believe that what is being stated about faith here is very true. We have to keep moving forward in faith. Knowing that God gives us dreams and hopes and aspirations and ideas. And as those are the right thing, as those are godly things, we can have some assurance that what we hope for will happen. Now, faith is very important. It's foundationally important in our relationship with Jesus. Notice verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Oh, that's a tough passage, isn't it? Because immediately we think about very dramatic expressions of faith. And we often forget that, you know, all we need to have is a little mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith, great demonstrated faith, those are the things that please God. And we want to think that if we only can think of these gigantic things, that's the only way to please God. That is not true. God looks to us to be faithful in small things, little things, when we start out with Him. And when we're faithful in small things and little things, then He brings us bigger and bigger opportunities. But if we're not faithful in little, oh, don't be surprised that you're not dreaming big dreams. You're not looking forward with a panoramic view of life, with a sense of hope and assurance that as God calls us and we respond, well, He does at times the impossible in our life. It's impossible to really love God and not have any faith in Him. Not having faith in what He is doing. What he will do in the immediate future, and for sure what He's going to do when we die and eternity is in the balance. It's good to have big faith. But you have to have little faith too, and usually that's where we start. And the more faithful we are, the more God puts bigger dreams, bigger ideas, bigger aspirations in our mind. We hear that through what God calls us to. God wants us to please Him. It's true that His way is not always the easiest way, but it is always the best way. And when it's not an easy way, it takes a lot of faith. And here's the clue. It'll take, if it's a big deal, it'll take more faith than just your faith. It will take your faith, but it'll take more than just your faith to get it done. It often takes the faith of someone else combining with you, and then the Holy Spirit doing what only the Holy Spirit can do, the impossible, the improbable. The other part that's not human, but very divine about this aspiration, this call that God has given us. We learn a few things about faith in this passage and in the New Testament. The first thing that we learn is that we need to move forward in life. We need to believe when we don't see. We need to believe when we don't see, when we're not sure how God is going to do what God wants to do. In fact, sometimes we're not even sure what we're supposed to do. Always start with prayer there, by the way. And oftentimes out of our praying, out of our waiting upon the Lord, well, we get the message, we get the idea. We know how to move forward even though we don't see how that's going to come to culmination. How this might ever occur. Well, it will occur because of God's blessing. It will occur because God's called us to be a part of that plan, that opportunity. And yeah, we don't always see. And when we don't see, we need to bolster our belief in God. We need to have faith and remind ourselves that we worship a deity of His Word. That when God says that he's going to do something, he is going to do it. He's going to do it. He'll complete what he wants to complete. And if you don't want to cooperate, if you don't want to have faith, you'll miss the blessing and he'll pick someone else. And there's a lot of great examples that God is a deity of his word. Just look at Moses in the Red Sea. Joshua in the Jordan River. Go back to Daniel, who we studied in the wintertime. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were saved from the fiery furnace. Daniel from the lion's den. Example after example after example of people who could not see, but they believed. They held on to their belief, and in their belief, they saw what God could only see before then, which perhaps they weren't ready to see. You can even move into the New Testament. How about Peter? Peter, a fisherman, they say, hey, you're up. You're preaching this Sunday. Give them the best word you've got. And I know Peter had to be a little worried about how all this was going to happen. Gee, I didn't take homiletics in seminary. Yeah, I've never had a preaching class, and I know how to fish. Ask me to do some fishing, don't ask me to do some preaching. Oh, that's right, I'm a fisher of men and women now. And Peter does what every preacher wished would happen to them on any given day. 3,000 people responded to Peter's message. Wow. Who could have ever imagined that? I tell you what, Peter didn't. Peter didn't see that as he moved forward, but he moved forward with belief that God can and God will. And 3,000 people responded. Now, what about Paul? The great apostle Paul, he was an evangelist to the Gentiles, which always makes me laugh. Paul was the Jew of Jews. If it was left up to us, we would have leveraged Paul over in the area of, hey, you start working with all the Jews. You'll be able to get them converted because you understand Judaism so well. God had another idea. He called him to be an evangelist to the Gentiles, and look at all the churches he established. More than I think he ever imagined. More than maybe we could even imagine. A second dynamic of faith is that we have to obey when we don't understand. Obey when we don't understand. Verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land. It's all in Genesis chapter 12 and following. Abraham was a very faithful guy. God came to him and said, I got other plans for you. I have other plans for you. I have other plans for you other than just staying and swim all the time. I got plans for you to go to Indonesia and go do a crazy thing. Take a bunch of white older people, take them to Indonesia and have them do a medical mission that they have no training in doing. See, that's obeying even when we don't understand all that God is going to do. And Abraham did that. He had a command or a call, didn't he? I think we all get commands or calls by God. Now, if you haven't heard God tell you a few things, maybe you're really not listening. Perhaps you're not listening. And you need to spend some time listening to what God says. Because God is calling to us. God is giving us direction. He's commanding us to do certain things. And remember, it starts with a little bit of faith, and that little bit of faith grows into larger faith, and then there's some humongous things that God wants to do in this world. And that all begins with hearing the command, hearing the call of God. And so God gives him a call. He says, I want you to leave your land. Oh, no, I'm so comfortable where I live. Just built my dream house. Got my garden. All the raised garden beds are in. Decorated it all. Now you want me to leave that? Yeah, I want you to leave that. He says, I want you to leave that. That's the command or the call. And then he makes a promise. I promise I will bless you. And I will make you and your lineage, your family, a great nation. The nation of Israel. Where would we be if Abraham did not listen to God's command and hold on to the promise of God? See, that's where we are in life, aren't we? Are we listening to the command? Are we feeding our fears more than our faith? God has a call to each and every one of us. And along with that call, you'll notice that there is a blessing that is a part of that. And what I love about God is he doesn't leave that part out. He doesn't hide that from us. Now, we may not understand it all. God's done several things in my life. I don't understand it. I hear you, but it's not making, well, human sense to me. And not that all that God does is counter to what our human instincts and our thinking is, but from time to time, he does stuff like that. He calls us in a direction that, well, we're just not all that familiar with. But he always calls with the promise of his presence, his power, his blessing in life. There is a great blessing in being obedient to God. Most people are grabbing on to the eternal blessing, but I want to remind us that there's also a temporal blessing that comes our way. God blesses us, period. Period. He blesses us in each and every day, and he blesses us eternally. A couple of passages. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. We love to have confidence in ourselves, don't we? We have confidence in our talents and abilities. We have confidence in our bank accounts. We have confidence in our health because we go to the gym every day. Those sources of confidence pale in comparison to having a confidence in God. Remember the great reward it brings you. It brings you. God wants to bring a great blessing into your life. He wants to make promises to you that come true in your life. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible. But they can come true if we're not willing to listen to his call. If we're not willing to be obedient to him. If we're not willing to dream any longer. But if we'll just have a confident faith in him, it's amazing what God does. It's amazing what God does in us and through us. James 1:12, they, the faithful, will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's the crown of the winner at the Olympic Games. He gets a crown. Paul says they get a crown that's perishable. We get a crown that is imperishable. It's eternal. So sometimes we have to just be obedient even though we don't understand, even though it doesn't seem to make human sense to us. We have to be willing to listen, and then we have to be willing to respond. The third thing that we learn about faith is that faith is about persisting when we don't feel like it. We don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I've said that a few times in my life. I notice I've said that a few times as I've aged in life. Well, I don't really feel like it. Well, if we only went on our feelings, it would be a very erratic life we lived, or a very low trajectory in life. God wants us to move forward even if we don't feel like it. Hebrews 11:27. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept his eyes on the one that is invisible. He kept his eyes on God. He responded even though there was fear amongst people. Imagine being hemmed in by the mountains, the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is on its way to slaughter you. I know a few people probably gave voice to the idea, well, this isn't the way I thought I'd go. But Moses moved forward knowing God called him, and if there was a miracle to be needed, God would provide it. God would provide it. Now, again, it's not always the easiest thing to persist when you don't feel like it. Listen to what Paul went through. This is 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27. Paul says, I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Now, right here, this tells you you don't want to be Paul's friend. Tough guy to hang out with. Well, he gets a little more descriptive here. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I have faced dangers in cities and in deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger for men who claim to be believers but really are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without even enough clothes to keep me warm. And we know Paul to be persistent in his faith, don't we? Persistence. Persistence is stubbornness, and some of you are very stubborn. Stubbornness with a purpose. You got to hang in there. You got to hang on. sometimes the water's very swift, very deep. Sometimes the circumstances of life are challenging and difficult, and it should be another way, but it's not. And when we're responding to the call of Christ, God will be with us in the midst of the difficulty and the challenge that we face. But we're the ones that have to decide right now, are we going to be persistent? Are we going to hang on? If you feel today that you're at the end of your rope, you know, tie a knot onto it. You can hang onto a rope 15 times longer if it has a knot in the end of it. Faithfulness, it's a virtue. It's a virtue. It's a hope and an assurance that the calls of God in our life are ones that we can hear, ones that we can respond to. It is about faith. It's about believing when we don't see. It's about obeying when we don't understand. It's about persisting obediently in our faith, even though we're tired and we want to give up. My encouragement to you today is be a little stubborn. Be hopeful. Be assured, because we worship a deity who makes good on every promise, every word in his word. Let us pray. Jesus, it's at times hard to get our arms around what you call us to. And I know human tendency. We want to kind of write that off because we don't think we're good enough to be called. We don't have a lot of faith. We've got a mustard seed between our two fingers, and today, Lord, we're gonna listen to what you're calling us to. And I pray, Lord, that as we listen, you will speak, that as you call us, we might understand the promise and the reality of what it means to expand and enrich your kingdom. And we understand, Jesus, that that starts with our own kingdom, our own sphere of influence, our own world. Jesus, where the future is unseen, I pray you'd give us belief. Jesus, where we don't understand, I pray that we would be obedient in what we can be obedient in. And in our obedience, as we move day after day after day in that obedient way, we are assured that what we hope will come to fruition. And Jesus, I know some people are here today, they're a little tired, they're a little worn out. And what they'd really like to do is just kind of sit on the sidelines. Jesus, remind us today that there's always a call for us. When you're done calling us, we're out of here. And because we're here, you have a call for us. You have a place for us on your team. Lord, help us to see what we cannot see from our own human perspective, both about what you call us to and who we are in you. Jesus, as we leave today, I pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit so that we could do more listening, so that we could do more responding, that we could be hopeful and faithful and assured in you. And so we pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.